There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening. Welcome to another Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Hockaday. I want to say this right off the bat because this show streams 24 hours, 7 days a week for free. This show is going to have to be absorbed by you and appreciated by you for exactly 21 days. Jim's going to be ministering somewhere in the world on the 21st of December, literally when we would be doing a show. He wouldn't be able to call it in. And on the 28th of December, he will be traveling back. So after tonight's broadcast, which is the 14th of December, our next live show will be the first Wednesday of January, which isn't that far away. So you'll have a couple of weeks to spread the word and hopefully enjoy tonight's show. So the 4th of January will be our next show. We've been talking about grace. We've been talking about sin. Last week, we invited you to look at a letter for your consideration in a theory called the pillow theory. But what do you do with your Christianity? What do you do with your grace? What do you do with your ability to pray? How do you use your faith? Do you cherish your relationship with Christ? Do you cherish it so much that you do not enjoy the true power of grace? And for lack of a better word, do you take your Christianity out for a joyride? Do you show the works? You know, remember in the book, folks, in the Bible, it says, you will do greater works than me, than I, which means that we are supposed to do things. We're supposed to do Christ-like things, which means pray and help people, not just be happy and satisfied with having a relationship with God, not just cherishing God, but taking the glory of God and taking grace and really using it like a tool, something that you apply this to. Right, Jim?
Yeah, I like everything you said. That's really, really good. And the Bible is full of stories of individuals that use their relationship with God. So really, BG, I like the way you said it, because why have a relationship if it's not working for you, if you're not doing something with it?
Well, it may be working for them, but it works for them, but they don't. See, I interpret it when it says that when you have a relationship with God and you enjoy grace, that you're supposed to testify.
Yes.
Well, to me, if you're not helping people, if you're not praying for people, if you're not assisting your fellow man, well, what in the world do you have to testify about?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like if you look at grace like a taxi cab, the testifying would be, well, I took somebody to the airport. I took this pregnant woman to the hospital. But if grace is like a taxi cab and all you do is wax it and keep the tires full of air and you keep it in your garage, what good is it to have a cab? What good is it to have grace, understand it, and to have a relationship with God if you're not out there applying it? Because aren't we supposed to apply it?
We are, and it makes me wonder, while you're saying that, is it possible people are ashamed of their relationship with God?
Oh my gosh, I know they are. People tell me all the time. And they don't say the word "I'm ashamed." They use the word "embarrassed."
But wouldn't you think it boils down to
self-conscious? I think it's a social stigma that comes from there's a lot of jokes about the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they riding bicycles, three-piece suits, right, or knocking on your door at 5 o'clock in the morning asking you if you've heard the word of God. I mean, that type of behavior is right up there with selling Amway products at a funeral. And, yeah. I think that people are I don't know if they're afraid as much as they are self-conscious. They don't want to have a finger pointed at them and say, you used to be really fun, but now you're a Christian and you're not any fun anymore. And so I think people hide their Christianity, whereas me, I don't really care what people think, because my grandfather told me something once when I was a kid. I said, well, I'm really concerned about what people think about how I work on horses. And he says, you know, he says, you'd be really surprised at what people think of you, because they really don't think about anybody but themselves most of the time.
That's very good.
And so when you think someone's thinking bad of you, the overwhelming majority of the time, it's more that they're busy in their own lives, their own world. They're really not thinking about you at all.
Yeah.
That's why they cut you off on the road. They don't consider that maybe you were in line first, because they're so busy wrapped up in their own little lives.
Yeah, most people are, and I think the world gears us that way.
And so I don't think it's fear. I think it's self-conscious embarrassment, apprehension of maybe I'm not good enough to go out and step into the world and say I've been saved. And I think that's I think that's tragic.
Yeah, and you know, I guess my thoughts right now, the way that they're running, really kind of. Want to just take the time to say, BJ, look at what God's done in the 250 days, what God continues to do.
270 some days.
Is it 70?
Yeah.
And what he continues to do in my life. And this is not a boast, except a boast in the Lord.
Well, that's not my fault. That's the Holy Spirit's fault for me being this way. You want to blame somebody, blame Jesus,
okay,
not me.
All right. Well, the point is you're having fun.
You're
experiencing life, and it's easy to tell people about things you're excited about. Come on, think about people on their job. And what's some of the greatest candor that goes back and forth with individuals when they're talking about something that's fun? Hey, did you hear about such and such? Man, they got a sale at such and such a place. Oh, I'm telling you, you got to go. Well, people don't have a problem communicating something like that.
No.
But the relationship with God usually is way back in the file cabinet, wouldn't you say, as far as people's importance? And because they're not experiencing anything more than, well, let's just say it for what it is, maybe the normal Christian experience, which seems to be religious, where we're going to go to church and we're going to sit there and we're going to hear something and then we're going to go home. And, well, let's just call that our weekly experience with God.
We have an email here. It says, hello, Brother Jim and BJ. Compliment of the season to both of you and your families. I read the pillow theory and also listened to both of your discussions on pillow theory and more about grace. I would like to say that it is sometimes difficult to give to people in a culture where people think that accepting gifts or help from others is like asking for a handout or accepting handouts. For example, I have tried to give to people that I think are less privileged than I, but they told me that they do not need my help. They don't need my help. Maybe I need to ask the Holy Spirit to direct me to those who really need my help. About grace, I learned from church that grace is given especially to some people, just like Brother Jim said. I think I would have to do a 360-degree turn around to see it the way BJ recently explained it. Well, probably so. And explained it, and I know that this is the same with other old religious people. I think that people use the word grace to get out of situations. For example, I've heard people say that, well, you're able to love unconditionally because the Lord gave you that grace. What do you think? And it says, P.S., I do believe that the Lord would have me listen to both of you every week because there are things that I need to learn. I have been searching for answers. I usually get to listen to the show on Saturday after my Saturday devotion. May our Heavenly Father continue to lead both of you. And this is from Lola in Manchester, who's wrote us before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that fits right there, because she's talking about, I mean, she doesn't know it, but what she said is really nails this on the head. She's tried to help people with her Christianity, and they've turned her down.
Right.
Because I don't need charity. What makes you think that there's anything wrong? What makes you think there's better than me? Once a person hears that, It would literally, some people would be so self-conscious that it would literally suture their mouth shut for all eternity. They would never offer Christian assistance again,
right,
because they would be afraid of being shut down again, because nobody likes to be denied. Nobody likes to be criticized. Nobody wants to be thought of negatively. And how heartbreaking would that be to have a relationship with God and you're so apprehensive that the first time you try to help someone,
right,
it goes sideways.
Sure.
I mean, I can see that happening. That's why I wanted to read this, is because she really is probably talking with,
well,
or talking for a lot of people,
well,
that listen to the show.
Yeah, she's speaking for a lot of people when she says that. The first thing I want to say, thanks, Lola, for the thoughts. We certainly enjoy it. And anyone else that would like to send in some emails, it really adds to the show, as you can tell. BJ, first thing is, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so I just wanted to make mention of that, because the whole idea that religion paints the picture, well, so-and-so has a special grace for that, or we tend to use it to try to get out of something. Like she said, well, there's a special grace on that person, so that's why I can love them, almost seeming to indicate, well, someone else doesn't have it, so that's why I can hate them. You know, no, the grace that saves you is the same for every single person. It's God's unlimited love, unmerited favor and love upon every Christian to walk in the highest and the best, whereby every endowment of God is available for you at every moment. And so for anyone to ever think, well, the grace of God is on that person, but it's not on me. No, the grace of God is upon your life because you're saved. Now, if a minister, and we do have scriptures that show in Ephesians chapter 4 that when God calls somebody to the ministry, a position of leadership to minister and to speak to others to help bring them into the fullness of their relationship, that there is a grace for that teaching. It's kind of like the difference of a teacher having a teacher's manual. And if you've never done any substitute teaching or teaching, let me tell you, because I've done some substitute teaching in my life. And the first time that I did, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. BJ, I took this history book, looked at it, opened it up, had all the answers in it. I thought, I don't know why they didn't give me one of these when I was going to school. It was awesome. And so I enjoyed so much the idea that, hey, I didn't have to work for those answers. Stood up in front of that class, and because I had the ability to speak, I was able to lead that class in something that really, in one sense, I had no knowledge about. My point is to say, God will give grace according to his calling on, like, a minister to help them help you. But every believer has the power of God. We've covered that, BJ, in the ladder theory. I think that was a really wonderful theory. The air theory, where we're trying to help you see that God's grace is boundless and limitless at all times. So really, Lola, you're bringing us right back to a central theme for tonight, which is, what are we going to do with that grace? Are we going to just put it in a wheelbarrow? Are we going to hide it in a closet? Or are we going to start to use it because we recognize it's there?
I think that the advice that I would give Lola, and it's the same advice that I've given others who have asked me about this, when they say, well, what if my Christianity is balked at or criticized, or they make me feel like I should keep my mouth shut? I say, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it to exercise and enjoy grace.
Yes.
Because if you look at grace as a refrigerator full of food, it really doesn't make any sense for you to be hungry if you have a refrigerator full of food. You're supposed to enjoy it and use it to its potential. Now, whether you're using grace, whether you're using your belief in Christ, and whether someone accepts it, acknowledges it, or criticizes it, really is not the point. The point is that you've been saved, you have redemption, you're choosing a life of as little sin as possible, and you're trying to use it. Because eventually, since God likes math, the more that you take your grace out for a test drive, the more
right.
people that you offer a ride in your grace cab, eventually someone is going to
Listen,
take it.
Right.
And they're going to say, man, I am so glad you're offering me a ride in your grace cab because I really need this.
That's good.
And then all of a sudden, that joy of that one person that you've helped will negate possibly dozens that said, leave me alone, you're a Christian nut.
Right. Yeah, I've got some scripture to back that up, BJ.
Well,
that's some good thoughts
do
there.
It.
And Lola, you know, I just wanted to cover, first of all, that part about grace, just to make sure that we were all square with that, because there's plenty of God's ability. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Now, as far as your Christian witness, I certainly understand what it's like to be turned down. I myself grew up witnessing to people left and right. In fact, I remember as a four-year-old boy having the opportunity to lead many of my friends to the Lord. It wasn't necessarily the way that I would tell people to do it today, but in the mind of a four-year-old boy, I had learned scriptures that are called the Roman Road that help people to see that no one's righteous, no, not one, all have sinned and fall of 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 sinned and fall